Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد سورة هود is a surah that was chronologically, according to many مفسرون, revealed after Surah Yunus. Even in its sequence in the Quran, it comes immediately after Surah Yunus, comes Surah Hud. The scholars, they say that the connection between the two surahs, Surah Yunus and Surah Hud, is that in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam ijmalan, very briefly. Then comes Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with us the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam in such detail that this amount of detail cannot be found anywhere else in the Quran. Not even in Surah Nuh itself. The amount of detail that's given in Surah Hud regarding the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself referred to this surah as Al-Hud or Hud. The famous narration, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was someone very close to the Prophet of Allah, a relative of the Prophet of Allah. He becomes the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his daughter marries the Messenger of Allah. He was very observant and always had his eyes on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only was he observant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's spirituality, but also had his eyes on the physical nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time he was sitting with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I've noticed that you are now aging. You've aged much more recently than you have in many years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a few strands of gray hair that had appeared. In response to this, he said, that it seems that you've aged a lot lately. In response to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُود وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. That Surah Hud and its sisters, meaning the surah similar to this, Surah Waqi'ah, Amma Yatasaalun, Idha Shamsu Kuwirat, Al-Mursalat, these surahs have caused me to become old. And the reason why is because when we study these surahs, we find that there are many warnings in them of people who do not take heed to the message of Allah. The Quran is Bashir and Nadir both. The Messenger of Allah, as Allah says in the Quran, he was Bashir and he was Nadir. Bashir means someone who gave glad news, good news, glad tidings, who brought good news to people. The Quran is full of mention of Jannah and the reward that Allah has stored in the hereafter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only stop with giving good news, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also does indhar. What does indhar mean? Warning people. Watch out. Cautioning people. Be careful. Because if you mess up, this will be the outcome. You will be held accountable in the adl with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the punishment of Allah may await you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. The second thing that also is very powerful about Surah Hud, and these are the verses that I wanted to reflect over today, verse number 42 to 47. The Messenger of Allah is being told in Surah Hud that it's very obvious that your enemies will reject your message. That's something enemies do. They don't accept, they reject. But sometimes, those closest to you may optionally choose, they may choose voluntarily to opt out of your message and choose a pathway of misguidance. they may abandon hidayah. And at that point, you have to know that guidance is not in your hands. That person can be someone close to you, like your uncle Abu Talib, who was naive, who was gullible, who forwent guidance because he was worried what people would say about him on his deathbed. Or it may be the likes of Abu Lahab, who will arrogantly remain stubborn and will outright reject your message and will be the first people to speak against you. You know, when your enemy speaks against you, it hurts. But when your own speak against you, when your own oppose you while you are on the truth, the pain is very different. They say that one day, you know, the hammer said to the metal, that why is it that when I hit you, you make so much noise? When I hit gold, it doesn't make any noise. If you take a hammer and hit gold, does it make noise? It doesn't make noise. But if you hit metal, it makes noise. So the copper said in return that the reason why I make noise and the gold doesn't make noise is because when your own hit you, it hurts more. Right? When two from the same breed hit one another, the pain, the impact is greater. When your own backstab you, the pain is very different. Now we come to the verses of Surah Hud, verse number 22 to 47. The backdrop to these verses is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. He comes to his people and he begins to teach them the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught them for alfa sanatin illa khamsina ama, that he worked amongst them, he gave da'wah to them for 950 years. In comparison to the previous surah, Yunus alayhi salam, after a short period, gave up on his people, that there was no guidance for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example to the Prophet of Allah after Surah Yunus, that there one prophet was hasty, here the other prophet was extremely patient. Who waits for 950 years? And after 950 years, a handful of people were those who believed in Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a command to the messenger, Nuh alayhi salam, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Those who have not believed, belief is not for them. Their hearts have been sealed, now it's time to move on. Oh Allah, how do I move on? وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكِ. Build an ark. Nuh alayhi salam begins to build an ark in the middle of a desert. Everyone's wondering, there's no water here. Why are you building an ark here? There's no water here, only land everywhere. So Nuh alayhi salam, he continues, and they begin to mock him and make fun of him. And when they mocked him and made fun of him, it hurt him like it would hurt any person. The messengers of Allah also have feelings. They're human beings. Nuh alayhi salam said, إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. As Allah tells us in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, that if you joke with us, إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ. Tomorrow you will be made a joke of. كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. Just as you make a joke today. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Very soon you will learn. Now, the water begins to pour from the sky and the earth begins to flood. Nuh alayhi salam gathers his followers and a pair of every animal onto this ark of his, and they begin to sail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 42 of Surah Hud, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ, that the ship was flowing with them in through the waves like a mountain. It didn't topple here, it didn't topple there, even though the water was pouring down and the waves were heavy. وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. It sailed with them like through the waves like a mountain. Now while they're sailing, Nuh alayhi salam notices that someone is not in the ship. وَنَادَى نُوحُ إِبْنَهُ. Nuh alayhi salam saw his son, and he called on to his son. Allah says, وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ. And his son was separated. Azal means to be separated. So Nuh alayhi salam is in the ark in his ship, and he sees his son, and he calls out to him, oh my son. And his son is outside of them, outside the ship, he's separated. يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Oh my son, ride with us, join us, and do not be with the disbelievers. So his son, who was struggling, and who was someone who had abandoned guidance, who was not a follower of his own father, he says to his father, سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. I will seek refuge in a mountain, and it will protect me from this water. You know, sometimes a human being is so deluded that they think there is a way to run from the punishment of Allah. When the messenger of Allah is telling you, join us, accept Islam, come on this ark, you will be saved. I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. This son of his was so deluded that he says to his father, "My dear father, Sa'awi ila jabal, I will seek refuge in the mountains, ya'simuni min al-ma. It will protect me from the water." Nuh alayhi salam's response is what? Qal, la 'asima al-yawma min amri Allahi illa man rahim. There's no mountain that can save you today. No one can protect you today from the command of Allah, from the matter of Allah, from the punishment of Allah, except for the one who He has mercy on. While they're having this discussion going back and forward, hala baynahum al-mawj, a wave comes right between the two and swallows his son. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ, he is from those who have now drowned. It's something really important to reflect on. In Urdu, we have a saying for this phenomenon. We say, chiragh tale andhera, which means if you put a lantern in the middle of a dark room, every corner of that room will lighten up. Everyone will benefit. But the people who usually don't benefit, the place that doesn't have light in that room that has a lantern in it is the space directly underneath it. If you look directly underneath that candle, there will be darkness there. Everywhere else, the light spreads. And they use this saying to highlight that sometimes those that are closest are the ones that are void of guidance. They are the ones who take it for granted. These are the people, unfortunately. And that's why the Quran reminds us again and again, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, then who's next? وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, save yourselves and your family. You have a responsibility directly to your kids and your family. You work with them. You make dua to Allah. You give them everything that you can. With wisdom, by the way. You know, just shoving religion down your child's throat doesn't necessitate them being guided. You have to use large amounts of wisdom. Every child is different. Just because the next door neighbor's child is going to memorize the Quran does not mean that your child needs to go and memorize the Quran. Every child is different. Because the next door neighbor's child reads the Tahajjud Salah, because your nephew or niece, your brother or sister's child reads the Tahajjud Salah, does not mean that you need to wake up your six-year-old every single day for the Tahajjud Salah. Some children are made for it, some children are not made for it. Every human being is different. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, being sensitive. But still know that at the end of the day, you can give your child everything you want with all the wisdom and give everything that you have. But taking the step towards hidayah is whose responsibility? It's their responsibility. Taking the step towards hidayah is whose responsibility? It's theirs. They have to take that step. They need to be humble and ask Allah for hidayah. Until they don't ask Allah for hidayah, the equation is not complete. You have to desire change in order for change to come. لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah speaks of this very clearly. Change only comes for the one who desires change. You have to want it. You have to desire it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 44 that now that Nuh alayhi salam's son is gone, they continue to sail through the waves and the sky continues to pour down. After everything settles and those that were to be destroyed are destroyed, Allah azza wa jal says in verse number 44, وَقِيلَ, and it was said, يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي, that all earth swallow the water. So the water began to settle into the ground and it subsided. وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي, and O sky, withhold, stop, no more rain. وَغِيظَ الْمَاءُ, the water subsided. وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ, and the matter was now complete. وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي, أي الْفُلْكُ, السَّفِينَة, the ship settled on the mountain of Judi. وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, and it was said that away with or destruction for the people who are oppressors. Now this is the verse, these next two, three verses where I want you to focus. Nuh alayhi salam now, in verse number 45, he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He files a complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect his family. Now how does a prophet file a complaint with Allah azza wa jalla? How do you complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is how you do it. وَنَادَى نُوحُ رَبَّهُ, Nuh alayhi salam calls out to his Lord. What does he say though? Does he say, Ya Allah, you were wrong? Does he say that? No. Does he say, Ya Allah, you betrayed your promise? Yes or no? That's not what he does. Because there's adab when you speak to your Lord. There's an adab of speaking to Allah azza wa jal. There's a manner, there's an etiquette of how to speak to your Khaliq, your Malik. So Nuh alayhi salam doesn't say anyone's wrong here. He just presents the fact and he says, Ya Allah, educate me. Ya Allah, teach me. Because sometimes a parent may delude you to believe something else. So he says, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ Nuh alayhi salam called out to his Lord. وَقَالَ He said, رَبِّ إِنَّبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي O Allah, my child, my son is from my family. That's fact number one. رَبِّ إِنَّبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي Fact number two. إِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ Fact number three. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ No complaints at all. He just states three facts. What's fact number one? My son is from my family. Fact number two. Your promise is always true. You never go against your promise. And fact number three. أَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ You are the best of all judges. So now, educate me. This is how you file. This is how you make a complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayyub alayhi salam is sick for over a decade. His body is diseased. He files a complaint to Allah. رَبِّ إِنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الظُّرْ أَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Two facts. Oh Allah, I'm sick. You're the most merciful. Zakariya alayhi salam is very old. He doesn't have a child. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْضًا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ A plea and a fact again. أَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ This is how the adab these prophets had when they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 46, Ya Nuhu, qala ya Nuhu, O Nuh, innahu laysa min ahlik. He is not from your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. Because his deeds were not righteous. Sometimes there may be a person who you share blood with, but they may be on a whole different spiritual path. Your time together is only in this world, it's not in the akhirah. Because they've made a decision to lead them in a different direction from where you're going. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ True bonds are established on spirituality. You have the muhajirun and ansar who don't share blood, but instantly when they meet in Medina, what happens? أخوة. They become brothers instantly, right away. On the other hand, you have a father and son like Nuh alayhi salam and his son, and Allah azza wa jalla is saying regarding that relationship, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ He's not from your children. In Surah Al-Kawthar, the people called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-abtar, and al-abtar means maqtu'un nasab, someone whose lineage does not continue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet's sons all died. So they said al-abtar, that he, you know, Allah says inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar, but the people had called the Prophet of Allah abtar, maqtu'un nasab, someone whose lineage is discontinued. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. And many interpretations of kawthar, one of the interpretations of al-kawthar is khayran kathira, meaning you may not have a male child who carries your blood and your lineage continues from there, but you have an ummah and every one of them is spiritually connected to you. They are all your family. Wa azwajuhu ummahatukum, and your wives are their mothers. And that's why in this very same al-kawthar, after Allah says, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ So pray to your Lord, one haran sacrifice. Just as a father would sacrifice and do aqiqah for his child, you will sacrifice on behalf of your ummah to thank Allah for such a beautiful family. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ His deeds were not righteous. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ So do not ask regarding that which you have no knowledge. إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ I warn you, O Nuh, أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ That you, lest you be from the ignorant people. And I close with the statement of Nuh alayhi salam. After being corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after being educated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya qala rabbi inni a'udhu bika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilm. O Allah, I seek protection in you from asking that which I have no knowledge of. Wa illa taghfir li. And O Allah, if you do not forgive me, wa tarhamni, and if you do not have mercy upon me, akum min al khasirin, I will be from those who are in complete loss. So in today's khatira from these verses, the lesson that I want you to take home is invest in your family. Invest in those that are closest to you. And know that a good father isn't someone who necessarily gives the material to the child. The best parent, the best gift a father can give to his child, as narrated by Imam Tirmidhi from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is good adab. Proper tarbiyah, proper spirituality. Help them grow properly. That's our first responsibility. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from His punishment and our children, our progeny, until the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.